I was talking yesterday about the Galaxy ad, the chocolate ad, and how peculiar it is. I was just struck by this kind of non-Audrey Hepburn person who was either, it looked like a robot or an elf, I'm not sure what it was. And people got on to actually give really good explanations as to what the technology involved was. And it freaks me out, the ad, a little bit. I love Audrey Hepburn. I think she's beautiful to look at. I'm not sure she's the best actress in the world, but she's great, great style, right? We love that. But it turns out the whole thing is computer generated using kind of an amalgam of footage of Audrey down through the years from old movies, and then superimposed a little bit on the face of an actress who looked a bit like her. I couldn't understand why they just didn't use an actress who looked like her. I'd rather look at that than some sort of weird robot. But the text came in talking about what's called Uncanny Valley, which isn't, as you might think, a haunted glen in the Wicklow Mountains, but in fact a term used for that weird feeling we get when we look at computer-generated faces. Uncanny Valley. Never heard of it. But our old friend John Riley is from the technology website TheEffect.net, and he spends a lot of his time looking at computer-generated faces. In fact, some of his best friends are computer-generated faces. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan, and that's a false statement. But
we're full of them here. It's the middle of July. We're generally saying anything we want to. But yeah, it's good. True. It's good to talk to you. You're obviously working, and had you seen this ad before? I was talking about.
Yeah, and I with my background, as you say, I was kind of my knowledge of what they're kind of attempting in it. I was aware straight away what they were at.
Yeah.
But I guess you, like yourself, and even my mother, I was telling her last night, and she was like, "I remember that ad," and I think she remembers me telling her what they were doing because she didn't know what was going on either. In like yourself, she's like, is that someone or is that not someone?
And yeah,
it's a very psychological thing actually when it comes to it, because the human brain is always trying to find a face in, like, you'll find it in a packet of crisps and on one of the chips. You know what I mean? We're always looking for human face recognition. So when we see, we're kind of world experts for, you know, that we can see faces and things. But when something's not right, when it's nearly there but just not right, you kind of go, wait a second, I'm very uneasy on this.
Yeah,
it's unnerving. It's not human. It's not saying what it should say to me.
We're always pursuing that, aren't we? The face in the thing. I mean, I remember there was
the Holy Grail. Yeah, absolutely.
There was a Mother Teresa in a muffin once. I remember seeing that. And there's always Jesus. Always gets his face
Jesus
in somewhere.
Is everywhere. God love him.
Well,
yeah,
it started with the tea towel in Turin, didn't it? And then it moved on.
Yeah. So the curtain boards and Father Ted.
Yeah. That's it.
Great,
so
episode.
As you rightly say, we're always seeking this out. And now with technology, the lines are blurring further.
Yes, absolutely. Like, the term itself has come from the 1970s. It actually originated with robots, because obviously there was no computer graphics or anything like that back then. It was Dr. Masahiro Mori. He used to build robots himself in Japan, and he found the more human he made them, the more, like, he used to put hair on them and kind of things that used to scare people and freak them out. But like, if you think of Wally, he's got human features. He's anthropomorphic in his ways, but we know he's a robot, but we're endeared by him because he's got his cute little human arms and his eyes. But the second you start to bring it into the realm of realism, or, you know, photorealism, that's when we start to go, wait a second, those eyes aren't real, because it's too off-putting, as I said, to us. And that's where you dip into the valley. So one side of the valley, you've got kind of stylization, something like Wally, whereas the other side would be just ultra-realism, where we can't tell the difference. And it's that little dip in the middle where humans get kind of freaked out, you know, they can't understand what's going on.
Okay, it's most unusual expression, uncanny valley, but obviously that's what they're...
Yes, it's if you were imagining a graph, and on the x-axis on the bottom would be human likeness, and the y-axis on the left would be familiarity. So kind of you'd start at the very bottom, human like, no, doesn't look like a human, doesn't act like a human, but then it slowly starts to travel upwards, and it gets to the point of, say, Wally or whatever it may be, and then you put hair on Wally and you give him teeth. It dips down straight away, because you're going to go, it doesn't look like a human anymore, and I'm not familiar with it.
Okay.
And then if you finally make a robot that does look act like a human, it comes back up out of that dip. So that valley there is kind of a metaphor for that's where the word uncanny valley, because there's just something uncanny about them.
So with this ad, they've taken footage of Audrey's Hepburn's best bits, or wherever she looked elegant in her movies or what have
you. Yeah, they've analysed her best bits from all different movies and made 3D models. They actually got permission off her two sons.
Did they?
It took a year to make the ad, and they got full permission. If you look at the very beginning, just before the ad even begins, you can see a little kind of terms and conditions down the bottom, Audrey Hepburn, with thanks to her two sons.
Wow, I was wondering, because I didn't know whether the lines, again to use the expression, were blurred enough that it's not her and therefore they would get away with it. I was wondering about that.
No, they actually, it's full on 100% family authorised.
Really?
Yeah, they went that far to make sure they made it as authentic as possible.
Why not just get somebody who looks like her?
Well, we kind of all, that is true, but nobody, as you said, you spoke about it yesterday, she's one of the most beautiful women ever to have existed, so it would be quite difficult to get someone to match her, and then they kind of, Galaxy may be seen to fall short if they attempted to try and...
Why not, and I'm only positing this in a sort of pub conversation way, but why not just use a clip from the movie, the actual Audrey, and superimpose it? You know, you can do any jiggery pokery now.
That is very true. I guess they just wanted a challenge, and we're talking about it now, so I guess they're
absolutely job done.
Yeah.
Do you like the ad?
I do, again, for the merit, and it's a nice ad. You know, the song is nice, and it's a nice ad. It's not too long. It's not overdone, and it just kind of gets the point across. If she was to be around now and advertising Galaxy, I'd say those sales would be through the bloody roof.
Well, in fact, our own G1 went to the shop yesterday and bought herself a Galaxy bar.
Well, there you go. I don't even like Galaxy, really, but I may go out and buy myself a power just to...
There you go. So it all works in the end. I was watching Rise of the Planet of the Apes last Friday night and with the Gertles. And actually, because my nine-year-old was getting a little bit freaked by it because, as you can understand, because the apes are so real. Because we watched a bit of Charlton Heston, and you know, you can see it's like Halloween gone mad and with monkey masks. But the Andy Serkis, who plays Gollum in Lord of the Rings, and Caesar in the apes thing.
In the new movies,
We'll talk about him in a second, but let's just talk about the quality of the technology in that, where you really do believe. It's the nearest thing. It's suspension of disbelief is not an issue nearly with these.
Yes, that's exactly it. I guess we've definitely come to the point now where it's just indistinguishable. Simple. If you had a screen with one of the computer generated Andy Serkis monkeys or gorillas along with a real one, you would take you a good long time to differentiate, and that's kind of a testament to both the motion capture and to the CGI of the visual effects that's being used. I think we've been brought up with it developing throughout over the years, from say, 30, 40 years since the first movie started using any sort of form of 3D. So it's kind of it's annoying, I guess, for the guys that have made these lifelike monkeys, because they know the audience are extremely appreciative of what they look like, but we know they're not real. If we manage to make the jump in a shorter period of time to this realism, we may be seriously in shock and awe, because we're like, how did they do that? It's unbelievable to see, but we kind of know that the graphics have developed with the ages, and that we know that it is. But even still, you can, as you're sitting in the cinema, as you said, or watching it on the TV screen, you can fall into a nice area of disbelief where you can kind of go, oh God, I forgot that is computer. Yeah,
I was watching a little bit of the making of, because I wanted to show to explain to Blades about the nature of how it all works, and that here's the actor Andy Serkis pretending to be a monkey, and now they're going to paint over him the monkey suit and then the green screen, and that's it. You know, it kind of takes the magic away, but it just says, look, they're not monkeys gone mad and the world is okay. Yeah. So he's become quite a figure, hasn't he, of interest?
He's kind of the figurehead, yeah. He is the guy that's kind of Hollywood goes to. Like, as you said yourself, from Lord of the Rings, that's where he got his name out there, and how incredibly... Well, he was captured as an actor in his movements, and now
is he an actor or is he a mime artist?
Well, that's the debate in Hollywood right now. It's what is he justified to be classified as an actor, or is he just another motion capture guy where his face is also used?
Listening to him, you think now he was up there with George Clooney.
I know, and again, that's where a lot of the visual effects artists are getting very annoyed at him.
Are they?
In his current interviews for the new Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. He's been kind of quoted very misleadingly, or he kind of goes, well, look, at most of it, solely the acting is done by me. What the visual effects artists, he says, do is paint over. They do little digital makeup and that's all.
Oh, right, okay.
So he's really not doing himself any favours. But obviously old forms of motion capture was stick men, and the visual effects artists had to pad it all out and make it look pretty. But now with the newest forms, they can track his entire body and his entire face all at the same time, in real time. So you're getting a lot more Andy Serkis in the action, but still the guys have to come in and paint on the monkey and paint on the hairs and all this, like hundreds and hundreds of layers of his skin, and the hair is wet and when it falls, all this kind of thing. So there's still hundreds of man hours to be put in after Andy does his performance. But still, he's not. They're really clashing heads over who is justifiably deserved of the kind of the acclaim or whatever it may be. But we have to. I guess that's the point of in Hollywood that we're starting to see change now with the visual effects.
Okay, now John, you're a geek, I presume, are you?
Yes, so yeah, much, yes.
So I presume you're a movie lover then in that regard.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So if you're given the choice between Planet of the Apes, the new one, Transformers, Godzilla and Mrs. Brown's Boys, the movie, which would you go to see?
Planet of the Apes, 100%. Not even, yeah. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It's getting rave reviews.
No, I'm dying to see it.
I can't wait.
Can't wait. Yeah, it's actually...
This weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see it on Saturday. I think some of the cinemas are showing it today or tonight. So it'll be great fun. But I'm just saying that there's a lot of green screen harmed in the making of these productions. Apes, Transformers, Godzilla. They're calling it the summer humanity became unnecessary.
No, I guess... Well, Transformers has always been painted with a negative light because it really doesn't try and form any... suspenseful, narrative, dramatic, or whatever it may be. But I guess Planet of the Apes is a really nice hybrid of the two, where it's using the state of the art, but it's conveying unbelievable. It's not going to ever happen, but the monkeys are given just as much emotion and feeling and expression as the humans are, and that's where people are loving this film because there's such a nice deep narrative to it. Whereas Transformers just blow as many things up as possible.
Yeah, I agree with you.
A robot on the back of a dinosaur.
It's like the, Star Trek: The Next Generation. They had really intense storylines and really good
that's
stuff.
That's why it stood the test of time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Okay, John, we could nerd this out for the rest of the day, but we got to go. Thanks for your time today. It's good to talk to you as always.
Cheers, Ryan. You too.
Thanks so much. That's
bye-bye.
John Riley. He's our go-to guy for all things technology, and his website is theeffect.net.